Hey guys, are you ready to transform your mind so you can transform your life? Coach Mirna brings you one-on-one coaching and expert guests weekly to help you to grow. Because happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy goal.
Looking for personal growth? Let's do it.
Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. So whether you're selling superfood smoothies or offering organic omega-3s, Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform got you covered. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/transform, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/transform to take your business to the next level today.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Rainey Yan. And sitting in the guest chair today is Dr. Anthony Balduzzi. Dr. Anthony and I are going to be talking on the topic, how to optimize health over 40 for longevity. Wow, this is such an important topic. It's such a big topic because I know that whenever you get to that 40 threshold, your health start dipping. And even, you know, a lot of times it feels like you're traveling upstream because you're doing everything and nothing is working. And I'm talking about myself here. So I know that, you know, this demographic, we need some help. So stick to the end. So we're going to be talking about how to optimize the stage of your life. So welcome, Dr. Balduzzi.
Thank you for having me. This is one of my favorite topics in the whole wide world, and I'm excited to share some tips to hopefully help you a little bit too, because you're always helping everyone else. So that's going to be nice.
Thank you. I'm definitely in that demographic. And my downfall started, you shouldn't call it downfall. But you know, until I got to 35, I had, my weight was the same from the time I was a teenager, like 13. Even after I had my first child, I got out of that delivery room and I went back to exactly the same. And then I got to 35, 40, everything started changing. And now I need help. So yes, I'm excited for this conversation. All right, guys. So with that little tantalizing little intro, let me give you a formal introduction. Dr. Anthony Balduzzi, the founder and CEO of the Fit Fatter Project and Fit Mother Project, experienced a pivotal moment in his childhood when he watched his own father work relentlessly, only to succumb to illness and pass away at the young age of 42. Anthony was just 9 years old at the time. This life-changing event inspired him to dedicate his life to helping busy fathers and mothers age 40 and above to lose weight, build muscle, and improve their overall health for the well-being of their families. As a licensed naturopathic doctor in Arizona, Dr. Balduzzi also holds dual degrees in nutrition and psychology from the University of Pennsylvania. In addition to his academic achievements, he is a former national champion bodybuilder. Through his unwavering commitment and efforts, Dr. Balduzzi successfully helped over 60,000 families across more than 100 countries through his Fit Father and Fit Mother programs. Awesome. Now, it's very interesting, and I like the way the universe always helps me on this show, but I'm reading a book right now, and this book, Arate, has, you read that, right?
I'm literally reading it right now, too, as crazy as that is. Like, that's the book I'm reading.
It's amazing. Right, well, you know, I had Mr. Johnson on the show, and, you know, he sent me the book, and I'm reading the book, and so it's a big book, right? Mm-hmm. But I came to, one of the things that he does in that book is that I find so amazing is that almost every chapter, he recommends a book. And something, you know, so I can't go read all those 100 and something books, but, you know, I let the universe talk to me. And yesterday I was reading one of the chapters, and it talked about the last lecture about somebody that died young, and they had this last lecture that it went viral. And something told me to read that book. So I started reading it this morning, and guess what it is? It's the last lecture of a guy that died at 46 years old of pancreatic cancer. And he left behind three young kids, 5, 2, and 1. So, hey, this is what we're talking about here. Fit fathers, fit mothers, so that you wouldn't have to leave behind young children. That's young. You know, your dad died, Anthony, when you were 9, but that's still very young. So my first question is, what are the key aspects of human health that people over 40 need to prioritize for longevity so they can be here for their kids?
I mean, it's a huge question, right? I mean, this is basically, how do we take care of our bodies? And I guess this question immediately goes into, what does it take for a human to be healthy? And I like to frame this discussion in maybe a bigger way than many people have heard before. And I like to frame it in relation to our understanding of the universe, or even what we might call natural law. So if you and I were gardeners and we looked at a plant and we needed to describe what a plant needs to be healthy, we would say, well, it needs good soil with enough nitrogen. It needs to have enough sunlight so the leaves can photosynthesize and produce energy. It needs to have fresh air for the oxygen, and it needs enough water to stay hydrated in the cells. It needs the right soil, the light, the water, etc. The human is the same way, except we get a little complex and we kind of gotten a little disconnected from the natural cycles that humans have been so connected to for as long as we've been here on this planet. The first thing the human needs is a really good circadian rhythm. And that's not just a way of saying sleep. It's a way of saying we stay in sync with the proper light cycles of nature and of how the sun rises. I mean, if we rewind a couple thousand years ago before we had all this technology, humans lived in sync with the sun. When the sun comes up, we are active, we are outside, we are getting natural sunshine. When the sun goes down at night, we have nice sleep rhythms and we're able to restore. We are so disconnected in today's day and age because we have smartphones and TVs and bright lights at night, and we're not getting outside enough in the morning. And I bring this up fundamentally because people don't realize how important light is as a signal for our bodies, for our brains, for our nervous systems. And I kind of want to spell this out. So in the morning, when we get outside and we get reconnected to morning sunshine, that sun that shines into our eyes, it triggers into an area of the brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. And this area of the brain releases serotonin that makes us feel good. In fact, when people have depression and we put them on these different medications for depression, we put them on medications that increase serotonin levels. And what I'm trying to tell you is your brain makes serotonin on its own in response to morning sunshine. At the same time, that kind of light that comes off the morning sun is a mix of white light and infrared. That infrared light penetrates deep into your skin. It's actually healing and protective for your skin. It actually makes your skin more resilient to sun later on in the day when there's all the UV light. It also improves your mitochondria. It makes all your energy production better and increases nitric oxide for circulation. And I like to start here because we need to start thinking of our health not as just, oh, what diet do I follow or what workout do I follow? We need to start thinking of our health as like, how do I really align myself back to these natural rhythms of life? Because when we deviate from these things, we get dis-ease and we get health when we're aligned. So we need to be synced up with the morning light. And I'll get practical on this about routines in just a little bit, but I want to talk about the evening time too, because this is something that people totally screw up. When the sun goes down and our brain senses that there's less light in the environment, our brain starts to release a really, really important hormone called melatonin. Many of us have heard of it. We've probably heard you can take a melatonin supplement if you can't sleep, but it's far more important than that. And it's actually really tied to longevity in your original question about why people age and what to do about it. Melatonin prepares your body for sleep. But it also triggers a whole series of processes in your brain where your brain literally starts to clean itself. Because all day, your brain's doing all this different metabolic activity to do all the thinking and the memories and the processing. that builds up like truly metabolic junk, and melatonin triggers the cleaning process of this. But you know what stops melatonin? If we have too much light at night, if we're looking at iPhones and screens, if we're not getting that morning sunshine, which creates a serotonin that gets converted to melatonin later in the day. And what we're finding now is there's a lot of research that's coming out in the last few years that is saying that melatonin is one of our best anti-aging molecules. Most of our white blood cells are immune cells that keep us healthy as we age, that prevent things like cancer that my dad got, or many other illnesses, viruses, bacteria, etc. These white blood cells have melatonin receptors, and they work well when we're getting proper sleep. But what's happening right now? We have people over 40 who are obviously not eating necessarily the right amount of foods, are stressed out, are using too many phones, are not getting morning sunshine, are not sleeping well. We are so fundamentally disconnected. So I want to start with this first pillar, and I'll let you comment because I know I've been blabbing for a little bit. Because if we just go and jump in and say, oh, this is the kind of diet to follow, or this is the best kind of workout, but we miss this base layer of the philosophy of natural law, but also the importance of light in this whole restoration cycle, we're not talking too holistically, and we need to have the whole picture here.
Well, that's amazing. I was listening very intently. To circle back, one, and of course, you know, I'm talking where I'm using my own personal experience and also what I've heard. So one thing I want to circle back on is I live in Florida. And one of the things I do every day is that I walk and I get the sun.
Good.
And I was doing a meditation the other day where by Thich Nhat Hanh, and he was talking about meditating, saying you're a tree. You have sunlight, you have rain, and you have earth. So when I walk into park, I'm focusing in on those things, and I'm like a tree. And I know that the sun is important. In fact, I stopped wearing, but I started back wearing it recently. But for a while, I stopped wearing my sunglasses because they said the sun needs to hit your eyes for the circadian rhythm and all that. So my first circle back is I'm in Florida. There's so many places in the country, in nation, I mean, globally, that people don't get sun.
Sure.
if you don't have the sun, how do you do this?
Well, it's great. I think a couple things. One, if you don't have the sun, what you can do is get any of those kind of lights, those seasonal lights. It's a little white light you can put on your desk or wherever you are in the morning, and you can just play it. And it's blasting white light, the same kind of spectrum of light that the sun would kick off, although you're not getting the beneficial infrared from the sun. You're still getting the white light. That's still going to trigger into your eyes to get the same exact signal that is, you know, is cascading and allowing all these hormones to work well. It's a sad truth. I know we all live where we live, but like, places that have more sun typically have healthier people. And it's just the case because we do need these circadian rhythms.
And they get into it because one of the amazing things that I found in Florida is very few people walk. Very few people go into the, you know, walk and enjoy the sun. I mean, I'm the minority, not the majority. But yes, they have this sun and they hide from it because they don't understand the benefits of it.
For sure. And we're learning more. And this is going to be really important. And also, I'll say this too. Many people are concerned, like, so to get back to the people who don't have enough sunshine, those morning lights and having one of those seasonal lights can be very important in the winter. When you do have some sunshine in the summer or spring, get some more of that. And also, like, sunshine and vitamin D, obviously very tied. Your body makes vitamin D from the midday sun when there's UV. In the morning sun, we're not getting much UV exposure based on the position of the sun. But the midday sun is what gives us the vitamin D production through the UV. So if you're not getting enough of that, then supplementing with vitamin D is very helpful. That's not the whole benefits of the sun, but we know as you get older, particularly if you want to have a strong immune system, vitamin D status is really important. So that's one supplement that is very helpful for people in low sun conditions. But yeah, I think that's what I'll say about that.
Okay, awesome. Now the second circle back, personal experience. I walk, I get the sun, I exercise and all that, but I have to take melatonin supplements. You know, it's really interesting. I was at a concert on the weekend and I made the mental note that it's 1 o'clock and I'm nowhere near tired. Now, I feel that I'm very healthy because I have a lot of energy, right? Because that's one way to tap your health is you have a lot of energy. But I mean, because I'm menopausal, I feel that there's something that not allows me to sleep without the sleep aid. Now, I have heard that melatonin is very good for you. I was reading a book and it talked about the same thing that you're talking about, how melatonin is one of the things that opens. I mean, I don't remember exactly what it does, but it's like it stands at the gate and it helps you with the cleanup of your system at night.
Yes.
And stuff like that. I think Dr. Stephen Gundry has a book on that. So because of that, I do take my melatonin supplements and because I figure not only is helping me sleep, but it's helping whatever. But so why is it that even though I'm doing all the good things in the morning, why can't I get the natural production of melatonin in the evening?
Well, I mean, you may have good melatonin evening production, but I think there's a hormonal experience that's happening in your body where there's other hormones involved that may be preventing you from sleeping well. So taking something like a hormone called pregnenolone, which is one of the precursors to all of your different sex hormones that are decreasing your body as you're going through menopause, could be something that's helpful for you. But I wouldn't say just because you take melatonin, it seems to help you sleep, that you would necessarily have deficient melatonin production. Melatonin is one of those things that is just like so primary for our system that our brain produces it really well. Although if you are blasting a lot of different kinds of lights from computers and TVs and bright lights, that definitely can decrease melatonin production substantially. So I do recommend people wear those like blue blocking glasses, or at least put the filters on your phone and your screen at night to cut out some of that particularly bright light that decreases melatonin production. But for you, I'm saying it's a little more multifactorial with the hormonal changes, because there's many hormones that impact sleep. Melatonin's a main one, but it's not the only one.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. This allergy season has been tough for me. The pollen number was the highest it's been in over 3 years. My nose was stuffed up, then it was running. I had the awful nasal drip in my throat and the sneezing. I was miserable. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. If you are ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Remember, use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's good. That was a good conversation on what we need to prioritize for longevity. So that's great.
I'll say that's a start. I mean, unless you want to keep on going. I mean, truly, like, obviously sleep is foundational, but I mean, to do a quick buzz over that, the next thing would be like prioritize your hydration, a lot of water, a lot of minerals, get a diet or nutrition plan. And nutrition plan is probably a better word for that, in place that is low processed, high in nutrients, and that you can actually stick to, that's sustainable. The third aspect of that is increase your daily activity. And the fourth aspect of that is doing some strength training a couple times a week. And the fifth and final would be taking a couple longevity-based supplements. So it's a progressive conversation is what we're having here. Obviously, sleep and circadian rhythm is foundational. Then we move into hydration, then nutrition, then daily activity, then formal workouts, and finally supplementation. So we can go as deep into any of those as possible. But I mean, the whole picture is to prioritize longevity, we need to live in accordance with natural law. And that's the landscape that we're kind of we're pulling out here.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, I've always heard about the water thing, and I drink water, you know, I drink water when I'm walking, I drink water during the day or whatever, but I was never drinking as much as I should. And I know that I should drink more, but I just didn't. And then recently I was reading a book and they talked about how to the importance of water. So now when I wake up in the morning, according to this, you know, this hack is you drink two tumblers of water in the morning, just as you get up out of bed, and then you drink a couple of tumblers during the day more.
Yes.
So I've increased my water consumption. And then my last guest that I had on here, on the show talked about how water is good for flushing out your toxins. So that's something I didn't even think about. I was just thinking of, you know, hydration and with the water. So that's amazing. And of course, we all know that you should move. you know, what is it? Movement is, there's some kind of tagline, about movement, how movement is so good for you. So everybody knows that. And then the strength training. Yes. Have you read, Dr. Atiyah's book?
Outlive? I have not read it. I'm familiar with it though. Yes.
Right. I mean, yes, that book is all about strength training and for longevity, you know?
Yes.
And, so yes, after reading that book, I go to the gym now 3 days a week and
good.
Strengthening my strength. Stuff that I knew of before. You see, knowledge is only power if you use it. A lot of us all of us have all this basic knowledge, but we just don't do anything about it.
But to your point, I think something really subtle there that is important for people to understand is one of the reasons you finally got into the gym and started strength training is because you read a book, you saw the medical reasons of all the different benefits that it has, and now you have a deeper structure of motivation to why it's important. Because before you're just like, oh, it's just exercise, or I know, oh yeah, I could use to build some muscle, but it's not as motivating. But when you learn that, like, literally strength training activates your mitochondria, it activates your longevity genes, it improves your metabolism, it improves your glucose metabolism, and you makes you more insulin sensitive and helps your cognitive health. You're like, if I didn't do this and I knew all these things, it would like truly be self-harm. So now you have a different motivational framework. So if anyone out there is struggling with any of these aspects to find you have motivation in a category, I'm not motivated to exercise or to eat healthy, educate yourself. Get some background info in place because then that'll really help with your motivation. And of course, this is what we help with at Fit Father, Fit Mother, the education and the implementation with the action plan. So happy to help everyone. But I guess I just want to point that out. I love that you have motivation because you learned and now you're going to be a lot more consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. He gives some statistics that you're right. I was motivated to do it. You know, because of my age, I just thought, hey, you know what? I'm getting a lot of benefits from walking. So I don't care. I don't care that it's not working my heart. And I don't care that it's not strength training. You know, I get all the additional benefits. And there's a lot of benefits of walking.
Yes.
There's the sunshine every day.
Yes.
Commuting and all that. And I was just good with that.
That's the baseline, but you got to have the sprinkle and the spice. You know, the spice is the strength training.
Yes. So that's good. And that's basically why I changed. You know, I still keep my walking. I do 3 days a week and then I go to the gym 3 days a week. So that's amazing. So I get something I love in and then something that is necessary to do. All right. So let's talk about nutrition now. Was there a nutrition in that piece, those five things that you just mentioned?
I don't remember. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say like we went to sleep, hydration, nutrition. This is the order of importance because if you miss the sleep, you create a hormonal environment that's too bad. If you don't drink enough water, it doesn't matter what kinds of foods you're eating, your body's going to be in a constantly stressed, dehydrated state. So the next thing is nutrition, which is more important than workouts. Like a lot of people over 40 and in their 50s still have the idea that you can like out-exercise a bad diet, but it just doesn't work like that. Like if you look at the longest living people around the planet, the centenarians who live to 100 plus in these pockets around the world, they're not even strength training per se. They're not necessarily doing P90X workouts, but they are eating natural foods. They're walking a lot. They're gardening. They're outside in the sun. They're drinking fresh water, typically spring water, and they're eating really non-processed foods. Like most of them, like gardening means like you can almost see them, right? They're out there in the garden with natural foods, like living more simple, lower stress lives. And the thing about nutrition that's fascinating is food is truly either like medicine and healing, or it's poisonous. Like it literally is in one of these categories. So something like a French fry, for example, that we know is not good for us, are these really inflammatory oils with a white potato cooked at high heat that creates all these toxic compounds that spikes our blood sugar but doesn't keep us too full. Like, and we can eat so much of it because it's super salty and has all these different flavor profiles that are made to be addictive. Like, That's something that's devoid of like vitamins and minerals, high calorie, inflammatory, versus something like berries or wild salmon or a really good salad or some high quality eggs. These foods are loaded with a bunch of different kinds of nutrients that reduce inflammation, give us energy, give us stable blood sugar. And so to start to think in these categories when we're making food choices is we are choosing foods that are giving us more life, or we are choosing foods that move us more towards more death. And I'm not saying to never have those, what we'll call like the death foods, but I am saying that your routine needs to be 85% life foods and have, well, that's like a free meal. And I don't even call it a cheat meal, but a free meal where you like bake this in, you go with family and friends, you have the pizza, the pasta, the burger, the fried chicken, like whatever it is for that during that discrete period of time. But the baseline needs to be life foods. And then the next layer of that is you need to find the life foods that you actually like, the ones that gel with you, the ones that, you know, you like for breakfast, lunch, snack, and dinner, and start to like build a little bit of a routine around it. Because it, I could give you any diet on paper and say, eat this, but if it doesn't work for you, if it's not simple and sustainable, it's not going to be a long-term thing. It's just going to be some restrictive fad. So we need to like build that around each of your go-to meals. And one thing I'll share before we open up for your questions on nutrition is it's not just about the foods. It's also about the habits and the routine. And when it comes to nutrition, we want to balance having consistent meals. So eating the same kinds of meals regularly, because that gives us the ability to be consistent, versus a lot of variety, where we also need a little bit of that. We need to have, you can't eat the same thing all the time. And I think early in the day, as busy people, busy parents, breakfast and lunch, or your first 1 to 2 meals of the day, are meals that is really good to be consistent and kind of standardized. And later in the day for dinner is the time to have a little more variety. And if you balance consistency and variety in this way, it can really help you stay on track.
Okay, that's amazing. So now let's get to the 40 plus people. So for women, when we get to the 40 plus, our hormones get involved, and a lot of women, you know, pack on the weight, you know, menopausal, you know, the hormones are there, and a lot of times, even when you're eating well, not better. You know, you're still packing on the pounds and you're exercising and nothing seems to work, which is basically what the consensus is. So you have made your focus and your, I want to call it ministry, but your focus and your goals to tap into that 40 plus market. So what are the health optimization needs of men and women different as they turn 40? For the women, I know it's menopausal. So let's start with that one and then talk about men don't have any hormones, as far as I know, that I don't think testosterone affects them. So how about, what is it different from 40 to 25 or maybe even 35? You haven't gone down that steep slope yet.
For sure. Okay, so let's talk about a 25-year-old woman. Maybe, and she, let's just say she hasn't had kids yet. She typically has the metabolism of youth. She can eat more foods and kind of get away with it, burning lots of calories. She hasn't had 2-3 decades of stresses and pressures of raising a family, packing on some weight, eating not the best kinds of foods. Oftentimes, a younger woman has more muscle mass. She's been a little more active. So again, that supports the metabolism. And estrogen levels are very high, and the menstrual cycle is typically quite regular, which, you know, gives a lot of benefit to the woman's overall vitality. And when we get into the fourth, and particularly the fifth, and then, of course, the sixth decade of life, the hormones change a lot. The stress levels are typically higher for women at that stage in life because they have a lot more responsibility. They've had kids, and now they're taking care of humans. And not that every woman necessarily had kids, but I'm just given this fit mother scenario because this is who I work with typically. And the estrogen decline that happens around the menopause period is very challenging. It actually makes it so that it is harder to lose weight. It makes it so that your bones get weaker, and you can actually start to lose some muscle mass at a more accelerated weight as well, because estrogen is protective for all of those things. So one of the most important things, and I know we talked about this already, but I want to double down on it, for women who want to navigate menopause well, is to strength train. Because strength training activates your body's endogenous hormone systems. It gets the hormones kickstarted. So you have more vitality when you actually lift weights. And when you feel like your metabolism's decreasing, strength training is one of the best things you can do to increase your metabolism. The other thing that's important from a hormonal perspective for women in the middle point of their lives, particularly around menopause, is to have a higher protein diet. Higher protein intakes are going to help preserve that muscle mass, and they're going to help the metabolism. Protein has a nice, subtle, but good beneficial bump on the metabolism. So if you can focus more on the protein and the veggies kind of scenario and drop the carbs a little bit, not to say they need to be eliminated, but be more of like a protein veggie kind of eating plan with a lot of healthy fats, things like avocados, egg yolks, nuts and seeds, olive oil, these types of things. That tends to be really, really good from a hormonal perspective for women during this time. And it's just the truth. Like, women in the fourth and fifth decades of life, you need to be even tighter with your routines because you have an environment hormonally that's making it more challenging. But I'll tell you, if you get on a high protein, healthy fat, good fiber nutrition plan with strength training, with doing everything you can do to optimize your sleep and lower your stress levels, you can navigate these decades of your life with a lot of grace and even make great changes to your body composition. I mean, I can say this with such confidence because on the Fit Mother side, I've helped over 10,000 women, and many of them lose 50 up to 100 pounds in their fifth, even sixth decades of life and get into some of the best shape they've ever been in, but they are doing these habits and they have a really dialed in routine. And I'll say too, especially as the menopause affects the sleep, we started this conversation with sleep. So anything you can do, if you can say right now, my sleep is not as good as it is right now, or it could be better, got to work on that. So that might mean melatonin, that might mean magnesium, that might mean prayer or meditation or stretching before you go to bed, getting those blue blocking glasses, because sleep is this master clock of controlling our hormones. So that needs to be a huge, huge focus as well.
This new year, take your business to the next level with a Shopify online store. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit $1 million stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/transform, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/transform now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in.
Yes, that's amazing. So let me circle back on that before we go to the mid. Yes, you know, I've made a lot of changes recently, and they're good changes. Again, I'm reading a lot. I read Outlive, and that probably kickstarted me. And then, you know, I am one of my sponsors, Wild Health, give me a health coach. And I have just incorporated strength training. Dr. Tia talked about the VO2 max. So now when I walk, I try to walk faster so that I can optimize my VO2 max. And also, I have changed my diet where I am, because I was doing intermittent fasting in the morning, so I wasn't eating much and it didn't really work for me. So now I read somewhere that you should have protein within 2 hours of waking up. So I now started incorporating, you know, high protein. You know, I eat protein in the morning when I wake up. Then I have a protein shake at lunch. And then for dinner, I'm having meat and vegetables.
That's exactly what I just described. Yes.
I should be fit lean, you know, like 6 months or so.
It's a process. It's a process. And I'll tell you, women, the weight loss journey is gradual. And it's something that I just seen because I've seen so many men, so many women on both sides of my programs. Men tend to lose weight faster. Women have a more gradual weight loss, and this is due to some hormonal factors. But I'll tell you this, more importantly than the rate at which it comes off is the fact that you're heading in the right direction. You're building habits, and those are the same habits that are going to help you sustain it, and you're losing real weight. Like, it's going to come off. So I love your plan, protein in the morning. And I'm curious, because I think it'll be useful for everyone listening, like what you do for breakfast, and maybe we can even talk about that. Are you doing eggs? What kind of recipe are you doing in the morning?
Well, I don't even remember where, because I get stuff from all sources. But I heard that you need to do 30 grams of protein in the morning between 2 hours of waking up. So what I'm doing now, I'm doing things like eggs and combination with tuna sometimes. Sometimes I use chickpeas. I'm not getting the full 30 because I'm not doing two eggs, but I'm just doing one.
Yeah.
But at least before I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, that's good.
I wasn't doing anything, so I've added that. And then I get a lot of protein when I do my shakes, because
yes,
I put avocados in there.
Yes.
I put peanut butter in there.
Nice.
I have my protein powder.
Yes.
I'm using yogurt. So I'm getting all kinds of protein, you know, at lunch. And then for dinner, I've cut out the carbs. So, yes.
That's a wonderful plan. I mean, that's a wonderful, wonderful plan. I love that. So the mornings are like good for like foods, like you said, the chickpeas, if you have any leftover meats from the dinner before, eggs, avocados. And don't be afraid to have a little bit of fruit too. I mean, like a lower glycemic fruit, meaning a fruit that doesn't spike your blood sugar too much, could be like a more green tip banana, or maybe some berries, or maybe an apple or a pear. Like, these could be a part of a breakfast if you enjoy doing that stuff too. I love the shake and the smoothie. Huge fan of it. I think it's like such a go-to healthy meal for busy parents. And so blending up exactly what you described in there, quality protein powder, avocado, maybe some greens. I recommend people throw like cacao powder. That's like 100% ideally raw dark chocolate powder, because it has a lot of magnesium and minerals in it that's very healthy for you. Chia seeds and hemp seeds are a wonderful plant-based source of fiber, omega-3s, and protein as well. So you do one of these kind of power smoothie meals that even could be your breakfast, but that's like a go-to healthy thing. If you just did that every single day, you're hitting your target on so many things. And then dinner ends up looking like pick a protein with a side of vegetables. Now, what I teach inside of our programs is the idea that dinner can look like a perfect plate. So that is, if you imagine a blank plate of food, half of it is with some kind of fibrous veggie you love. This could be asparagus, broccoli, bok choy, collard greens, even a side salad. So some kind of like veggie that's ideally green and fibrous, versus like a starchy veggie would be like corn or potatoes, or, you know, I guess squash could be like semi, but it's not exactly a starch, but you get the idea. Maybe like a parsnip would be like a starchy veggie. So half of it's some kind of fibrous veggie. A quarter is some kind of protein you love, any kind of protein. This could be animal-based or plant-based. And the final quarter can be some healthy carbs. And so it's fine for you if you're totally choosing to eliminate those for some time. I think in the beginning of a weight loss journey, staying lower carbohydrate is a good deal. But also, you could still have carbs and lose weight. A cup of carbs on the side of your dinner plate is around 40 grams of carbohydrates. If it's coming from a source like some quinoa or some brown rice or some sweet potato or something like that, some squash, carrots, like, it's totally fine. Your body can do that in a nice mixed meal. It's just, you don't want to have too many carbohydrates. And I think a good target for people to aim for is staying if you're trying to lose weight, stay around 100 grams or less. And if you had 40, from what you described, if you have zero carbs at dinner, maybe some trace carbs from the veggies, you might be getting like 20 grams of carbs at dinner or something like that. Your breakfast seemed very low carb, and your shake might have another 20. So you're probably even around 50, you know, around that much. But I'm saying, just balance your carbs, lower on the carbs, get rid of all the white stuff, get rid of all the added sugars, and you're going to be in much better shape.
Yes, I love it. I love it. See, I'm getting coaching everywhere. Now, one last circle back on that, because it's something that I'm going to make a change, and I think the listeners might benefit from that. I learned, because I've always used, plant protein, but where I was hearing about this 30 grams of protein thing, and I just remembered who I heard it from. She was saying that you should use animal protein because it's a higher quality protein. And I went in to Whole Foods looking for animal protein, and they had like one thing of animal protein. Can you comment on that?
Sure.
For seeds, what do you suggest? Animal protein or plant protein?
Okay, and I'll explain that. I'll talk generally about the differences and then what I recommend for shakes specifically. Protein is just a general term that we use for things that contain amino acids. Amino acids are really specifically what our body uses. We break down proteins through digestion to liberate amino acids, and there's many different types of amino acids. Some of these amino acids are essential, meaning our bodies can't make them, so we must get them from foods. And there's other that are non-essential. And each of these amino acids has different effects. So there's one amino acid that you'll hear about as you start to research is more called leucine, L-E-U-C-I-N-E. And leucine is an amino acid that triggers the body to build muscle. It's typically found in higher amounts in dairy products and animal protein. Plant-based foods are lower in leucine. And all different kinds of protein sources have different amino acids. Like protein that comes from rice has different amino acids than protein that comes from egg whites. Or I should say, the amino acid profiles are different. And certain protein sources are absorbed better than others. So just because something says that it has 10 grams of protein in it, there are certain proteins that have higher bioavailability. So things like protein that comes from whey, which is dairy derived, has high bioavailability. Egg has high bioavailability. And a pea protein is a plant-based protein that has pretty high bioavailability. So it's good to get protein from a mixed variety of sources. If you're completely vegetarian and plant-based, then the good news is that you can get all of your amino acids, and they typically are found by pairing different kinds of food. So like beans paired with rice gives you a complete protein. And I'll say this too, I am a big fan of hemp because hemp is actually a complete plant protein. It has all the amino acids. That's why I'm a big fan of anyone, regardless if they're fully plant-based or not, of getting hemp hearts, which are also known as hemp seeds. Those are the things that throw on salads, dust the top of any of your other meals, put them in shakes. It's a really good plant-based complete protein. Now, animal protein, let's just say it's coming from like red meat or chicken, has all the essential amino acids built into it, and it is quite bioavailable. But there's many reasons that people might not necessarily want to have a super high meat intake, and it's a heavily debated topic throughout, you know, the nutrition community. I am a fan of people doing like mixed diets, so heavy in the plant-based, but also having some animal proteins in there because there are some benefits to it. Like there are things you can get from having wild salmon, like the omega-3s, the fat-soluble vitamins that are just really nutritious, and your diet would probably be better off for having that versus not having it at all. But there's also, when it comes to the types of proteins that you might throw in a smoothie, you're going to get a couple different sources. You're going to get a plant-based protein, you're going to get a whey protein typically. And they also have beef protein as well, which is like literally ground up dried beef powder, and they have egg white protein. I would say one of two things. I personally use a plant protein. I find that my body reacts to dairy. When I have too much dairy, even if in the form of whey protein, which is dairy derived, I notice that I get a little mucousy and my body doesn't feel the best. But that's not the case for everyone. In fact, if people can tolerate dairy well, a whey protein, which is derived from cow's milk, it's just processed, is a very bioavailable, good source of amino acids and is very healthy and helpful. But if you're going to get a plant-based protein, then a pea protein, but probably a blend of like pea, hemp, and rice and a good mixture of those things is ideal. These blended plant proteins are good. For our company, like we manufacture our own because I wanted to have a particular blend of these kinds of plant proteins with some vitamins, probiotics, and greens powders. So we went ahead and did that. But if you're going to have a plant-based protein, I say make sure when you look in the ingredients list that one, it's low in sugar, and there should be a protein to sugar ratio of ideally 10 grams of protein per 1 gram of sugar. So if it has 15 or 20 grams of protein in a serving, which is typical, that it should have 1 to 2 grams of sugar and not more than that. I would also suggest you get a protein powder that does not have artificial sweeteners in there. Those will be things that you'll see on there like sucralose or aspartame. Those are kind of the common ones that you might find in there. The better sweeteners are things like stevia or monk fruit or xylitol. They're like natural sweeteners that are a lot better for your body. The artificial sweeteners do have problems. But yeah, I use a plant-based protein personally, but I think plant or whey is totally fine. So I'm fine with either, but I'm curious. Do you have any sensitivity to dairy? If you eat too much dairy, do you feel anything or do you feel totally fine?
I eat eggs every day. I don't have any sensitivity, but you've just something that I just learned. Everybody has always talked that whey protein is the best. But I got sworn that when I looked at the bottle or the whatever it comes in, it says plant-based. I didn't know whey was animal-based. So
yeah, way easier.
Animal based, then that is still the perfect protein. But yeah, when I was looking at Amazon, Whole Foods, I saw the egg white protein powder, and I wasn't sure if to get that or
those are typically pretty nasty. And I think it's fine. They honestly are. They don't mix well. They don't taste good for the most part. It's a very good bioavailable protein source. And eggs are a food that I do suggest people eat. Like, it's a food that, like, especially if you get a high quality egg, one that's like ideally organic, but certainly like pasture raised where the hen was actually eating like its normal diet, that egg yolk itself has so many good nutrients. In fact, the egg yolk is the richest source of a nutrient called choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E, which is one of the best things to protect your brain health over 40. Choline gets turned into one of your neurotransmitters, acetylcholine, that your brain needs. And just one egg is enough to get basically the choline you need for the day. So plus you get the 6 grams per egg of some good high quality egg protein. So that's awesome.
Yes. All right. So that's amazing. Love it. All right. So now let's talk about your Fit Fathers and Fit Mothers project. Mm-hmm. How does your proven methodology for success set itself apart from other health and wellness programs targeted at the 40 plus age group?
Well, I'll say this, and I mean, kind of to maybe toot our own horn, like we have been some, at least in this online space, some of the first people in the space. Like, we've been doing Fit Father and Fit Mother for over a decade now. And I know there's been a lot of different companies that have come online, especially in the post COVID, right? All the gyms shut down and everyone's like, oh crap, we want to help people. So all these companies spun up. But like, we have probably the largest track record of any program online in terms of success stories, with over 60,000 successful people in over 100 countries. And because of that, we've been able to develop a really robust system that works, not just for shorter term results, but actually a sustainable lifestyle change, which means we're not just addressing exercise and nutrition. We're also addressing mindset and habits and connection to your why and your mission. And that's really, I can run you through our process because I think it's going to be very explanatory. Before we get even people on the nutrition and the healthy eating and improving the sleep, we actually have them go through a deep mindset, mission statement, and motivation work where you really get clear on what your core values are in your life and how your health is connected to all of those. And you create a powerful written mission statement to guide your healthy behaviors, which is just connecting your health to your family, to your spirituality, to your ability to make money and experience abundance, and helping rewire your neuroassociations. Because the reason we struggle with health is not strictly because we don't have the right plan. It's also because we have a lot of like mental and emotional baggage, because it can be challenging. We failed in the past. It's hard to get motivated sometimes. We want to feel like we have more discipline. So we help you get that mental and psychological and emotional container from day one on the program. Then we layer in a really sustainable and energy-producing nutrition plan, one that you can stick to with good foods. We've explained some of the strategies here today, but we use things like intermittent fasting, not for everyone, but as tools. We give you the best recipes. Everything is just in an app, so it's with you at all times. You have a meal plan that's progressive and helps guide you as your goals change, whether that's fat loss or muscle building. We give that to all of you in the program. And then we work in exercise that's completely age appropriate for people over 40. It's a combination of like the best stuff. Like, so we're huge advocates of walk as much as you can, daily walking and movement. But the kind of strength training that we do is a combination of strength, cardio, and flexibility all in one. We call it metabolic resistance training, where you're basically taking some of the best strength training motions, like the squats and the shoulder presses and the rows and the curls and the press ups and things like that. And we combine them in a circuit fashion. So it works your muscles, improves your VO2 max, and gets your joints moving in the functional ranges of motion, so you actually feel better. And the cool thing about that is those workouts take around 30, maybe 45 minutes max, and you do them 2-3 times a week, and that's enough to get the things going. And then as you get more advanced, we have like really dialed in muscle building and strength training programs, etc. But maybe the magic sauce of this that puts it all together is obviously the education and the program is world class, but we put you in community with thousands of other fit moms and fit dads who are doing this process with you. And we're all doing it together. So it's so motivating, because when you're feeling like you're having a challenging day, you have the group to lean on for support, to watch someone else's story, to get plugged in. You're no longer disconnected. You're no longer doing it by yourself. And like, it's good to have a health coach for sure, or a personal trainer or someone to be accountable to. But if you can have that plus a community, like an army of people who are your friends and your confidants, your brothers and your sisters, where you're doing this together, it's like, it feels so good. It's like one of the reasons why a lot of people go to church is like, you can certainly worship and have connection to your spirituality and your higher power in your own home. But when you have that and you go into community around people, there's energy that comes, helps you stay on track. So it's one of the amazing things about our community. Everyone's in there in these different chat groups, working directly with our coaches. People make lifelong friends. And if you ever deviate and like slip off a little bit because the holidays come around, some stress at work happens, we help you get back on track. So it's like a community that keeps you long-term moving forward. So that's, I'd say, what makes us, you know, different. There are a lot of great companies out there. We just have a really proven track record of success and something that's worked for tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you start with mindset because, yeah, it's knowing your why is very important. And I, you know, when I said that I was walking and enjoying and I knew what my why is, my why was longevity. I want to make sure that when I get older, that I don't have any of the chronic illnesses that make me not have a quality of life. And even though it wasn't contributing to weight loss, I says, you know what? I put that in the back burner because this is important. But the reason that mindset is so important, because I will tell you, you start a program, let's say, and you're all gung-ho like me. When I was doing intermittent fasting, my husband is losing 40 pounds and I'm doing intermittent fasting and I'm going on that scale and nothing's happening. A lot of times, if the mindset isn't right, you'll just stop. Hey, it's not working. Yeah. Or whatever is the reason that people stop, which is why the gyms, I've known a long, long time that, you know, people go to the gyms for like 2 months or so and then stop and they don't go anymore because something comes up and their why is not important. So starting with a mindset is phenomenal. So it's great because we all know that challenges happen and things happen and, you know, when you stop, it's hard to start back and all these different things. So it's great that you do that.
And it's a skill to get back on track. Is the last thing I'll say of this is like, health is not a game you win. It's not like a game that you play once and you win. You say, I'm done. I got it. It's like, it's a process that we go through in our entire lives. Insofar as we wake up every new day, we have a day and we have a body and we must tend to this body. So we have an iterative routine that we must flow through. And life is seasonal. Like literally the seasons of the year have different challenges. Like people tend not to exercise as much in the winter when it's cold and they get more active in the spring and summer. Like there's a cyclical nature to this that we must learn how to go across. And then anytime we deviate, it's okay as long as those deviations don't go into weeks and months and ultimately years. So it's a skill that we teach people in our programs of how to glide and come back on track. So and in course correct to make it tighter and tighter and tighter. And if you practice this over time, then you fundamentally change your lifestyle. And we help you win each day. Get an amazing routine that gives you energy, that's low friction, works with your life, helps your kids live healthier too. It becomes so integrated, it changes who you are. And then you get to the point, honestly, by working this enough, where it'd be hard for you to do the opposite. It'd be hard for you to go back to your old ways because you would feel so unnatural and not nearly as thriving as you are now on this better plan.
Yeah, I know. I tell you, when I'm not home and I can't walk in the park and get the sunshine or whatever, wow. Trust me, I like what you said that it creates, you know, what you said, dopamine or endorphins or which one does it create the sun? Is it dopamine or?
Oh, serotonin is what the sun increases, but the lifestyle increases dopamine for sure.
Right. I just absolutely love it. It's, you know, it's responsible for who I am and, you know, my everything. But one last thing before, because I think we missed it, before I go on for you to tell us how we can get your programs, is that we touched on the women, of course, but we didn't talk about the 40-plus man. So can you give us briefly how those, you know, we talked about the 35-year-old woman to a woman in her, you know, fifth decade. Give us the parallel to a man. What happens to men?
Well, men have testosterone and estrogen. I just want to say that. We just have it in different proportions from women if we're going to talk about from a hormonal perspective. And men's testosterone levels peak in the early 20s, you know, teens to early 20s, and then begin a kind of progressive decline over the decades. And when I time a guy's, you know, let's just say fifth or sixth decade of life, he may have, you know, 50% as much testosterone as he once had. But a lot of this is not necessarily just natural decline, because testosterone might only decline at about 1% per year from that peak state. So it's not like it's a gradual progressive decline. But today, men are kind of like under attack from many angles in terms of their testosterone picture. One, guys are super stressed. And stress is one of the main killers for men because it increases all the risk for heart disease. A lot of guys, to cope with stress, do a lot of unhealthy behaviors like drinking and smoking and not staying up, you know, or staying up and not sleeping well. So that's a huge aspect. And when cortisol levels are high, when men are stressed, it crushes testosterone levels. These are like a seesaw relationship. So what you often find is like you have, let's just say, a 50-year-old dad who's got kids that are in high school, who's working the job, and he's very stressed out. He's not taking care of himself. Like, his testosterone levels are going down, which means his body fat is going up. His motivation is going down. And so he needs to reverse this whole picture. The other aspect of it, too, is in today's modern world, you mentioned plastics briefly earlier in our conversation, is we are a world full of plastic right now. And many of these plastics are actually hormone disruptors, environmental disruptors. And in women, they can actually increase the risk of all these hormone-sensitive cancers, breast cancer, uterine cancer, et cetera. And in men, these plastics can actually decrease testosterone levels and cause a whole bunch of endocrine problems. So, like, part of a healthy lifestyle, just a small detour because we got here, is to start using a lot more glass, and certainly do not heat the thing or microwave things in plastic. Limit the amount of plastic water bottles that you drink from, especially if they've been heated water bottles, and just try not to microwave stuff in plastic. Use a lot more glass because it's going to be good for you. But with men, what we need to do is we need to get rid of the body fat, particularly the body fat around the midsection, which is associated with that visceral fat that's very inflammatory in the organs. We need to support healthy testosterone levels through sleep, strength training, and targeted nutrition by giving guys enough zinc, magnesium, eggs, honestly, for the cholesterol that helps build testosterone levels. And we need to make sure that guys keep their hearts healthy, because heart disease is the number one killer of men. And it continues to. You hear a call of these guys, it's like, I think in the United States, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of guys who have heart attacks every single year. And that's why we need to get the heart healthy through, honestly, the same stuff that we kind of discussed. The cool thing is, although the mechanisms are different between men and women, the actual process of what you do ends up being fairly similar. Yes, you can tailor the exercises to be slightly more specific for women or for men. And yes, there's some different nutritional aspects that are slightly different, but the foundations are the same. Ultimately, although we have different hormones and slightly different genetics, we are humans. And in this case, like, the same fundamental principles apply. But we want to optimize testosterone, though, because not just the muscle mass, the vigor, libido, it's protective for men's mental health, too. When testosterone levels are really low, men are at high risk for Alzheimer's and dementia. When testosterone levels are low, many men are kind of like self-medicating with high sugar diets and stuff like that. And that further damages brain health by creating too much sugar in the brain, which can be a predisposition for Alzheimer's, dementia. So you can see exactly what's happening to men and women in the later stages of life when things are breaking down. It's a super unhealthy lifestyle, and we got to turn it around in the same things we discussed today.
Wow, that's great. Yes, so testosterone is a factor, huh? I mean,
huge factor, huge factor for sure.
I know that testosterone is connected to libido and muscle mass, but I didn't think that it was connected to like how estrogen just derails women. I didn't think that testosterone had an effect. So that's great to bring that home.
Women feel like they fall off a hormonal cliff around menopause. Guys have a slow smoldering decline. It's kind of how it is.
Yes. All right. So that's good. So thank you, Anthony, we've had an excellent conversation. We hit the ball running, and I love it. I love good conversation, good content, good information. I learned a lot. So thank you I'm glad that I was able to put my experiences being in this 40 plus bracket for us to have a really good conversation. And we touched on a lot of good topics. So thank you so much. So as we wrap up, can you tell our listeners how they could connect with you? I already follow you. So I've been seeing on Facebook. I'm not sure if I saw you on Instagram yet, but I've seen you in Facebook with the Fit Fighters and Fit Mudder projects. And then I've seen some of your information on there. So tell our listeners how they can connect with you to be a part of your Fit Fathers and Fit Mothers projects, how they can follow you on Instagram or Facebook.
Cool. Well, first off, thank you for the conversation and for injecting your personal experience, because it was really fun. And I think this made it like a really real conversation for people. And I'll say, I know you can listen to a podcast like this and your gears are spinning. There's probably a mix of motivation and maybe even a bit of overwhelm. Like, where do you even start? Like, how do you even get this going? And I'll say, this is exactly what we help people do with Fit Father and Fit Mother. We give you a plan that is step-by-step, simple. We walk you through it to help you actually create habits. So it's not just another podcast or another YouTube video or another social media post. It's actually real change in your life. And so we can be found, and our programs can be found online at fitfatherproject.com, where our men's programs are, and fitmotherproject.com. And if you go to our websites, we have a 2-week completely free trial to our program. So you can come through and actually do the whole thing for 2 weeks. Write your mission statement, follow the meal plan, start losing weight, do the exercises, connect with our coaches. Like, that's available on our websites, fitfatherproject or fitmotherproject.com. And then on social media, we're on Facebook as well as Instagram. Those are great places. We also have wonderful YouTube channels with over 1,000 videos between the two channels. So if you do like videos, that's good. But I would suggest that you actually hop into the program if you really want to see results. But YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, we're at Fit Father Project or at Fit Mother Project. You'll find us there. But I recommend the websites to get that free trial and get started. That's the best place to start.
Yes, that's amazing. Yeah. Listen, I can definitely see, you know, where your program would work. And the fact that you're labeling it as fathers and mothers, which sets the intention that, hey, you want to be around for your kids. You know, my mom is 86 years old right now. And I will tell you, every day I'm so grateful that I have my mom here and my dad, actually. Oh, let's forget him. But the reason I focus on my mom is because I have a very close relationship with my daughter. And one of my prayers is that I will be around when she is 65. You know what I mean? Because it's amazing things that your parents hear. So yeah, so if you're, you know, labeling it Fit Fathers, Fit Mothers, it's setting the intention of why you want it. So yeah. Hey, your mindset program, actually, you know, you've got the answers right there. You know, why sure. You want to do it? Why you want to be fit? It's not just for you, even though that you're the collateral damage, but it's so that you'll be around for your families. Because yeah, so, you know, I understand, you know, how your life work was based on the fact that you lost your dad when you were 9, and he was pretty young too, barely in his 40s.
Exactly.
So that's amazing. All right. Well, listen, I will have a transcript of my conversation with Dr. Balduzzi on the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. I would also link out to social media pages and also the Fit Fathers projects and Fit Mothers project on his website. And definitely, like you said, there's a 2-week free trial. So go try it out, because you owe it to yourself and your children to stay here as long as you can. So I thoroughly enjoy my conversation. I have some, you know, some circle backs for myself. Checking out what's going on with my melatonin. And also the fact that, yes, I can continue to use whey protein, because I was searching for another animal-based protein. So I'm glad that I got that information. All right. So as we wrap up, any last words, Dr. Balduzzi?
Well, I'll just say this. I think what you said in summary about this is about us, this is about our families, is so true. And I've gotten subtle hints from you referencing your prayer life. And I'll say it, me too. Like, I'm a man of faith. And I find that one of the most motivating things for me to be healthy is to understand that for me, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I feel in the greatest level of integrity when I'm tending to this body. And honestly, I can hear and communicate with God when I am clean in my living, when I'm eating the right foods, when I'm praying, when I'm sleeping, when I'm exercising. And so this is a completely interconnected experience. And for us to be truly whole, what the word health means wholeness, we need to create that wholeness in our bodies, minds, and spirits. And the process of doing that, of getting the body in check, of facing any of our bad habits and patterns, is, in my opinion, a spiritual process as much as a physical one. It's bringing us into greater levels of trust and right living and natural law and all the things we talked about. So I just want to end with that. This is a very deep and beautiful journey we all get to take together. I'd be privileged to help anyone here. And I just believe this is body, mind, and spirit.
Yes, body, mind, and spirit. Yes, you need to be whole. And I keep hearing that. I mean, it's something that, you know, it's in the Bible, but I keep hearing everybody's talking about, yeah, your body is definitely the temple, and you got to treat it that way. Yeah, so that must be the message, because, I mean, I'm hearing it so often. It's true. It's the only one that you got. It's your temple. So take care of it, right? Mm-hmm. So awesome. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Transforming Your Minds and Transforming Your Life. I bring you quality guests like Dr. Balduzzi every week so that I can help you on your journey. And I love what I'm going to tie into what Dr. Balduzzi just said, that yes, it's a mind, body, spirit. They all work together. You know, it's fitness, it's your spirituality, and it is, you know, taking care of your body, because you don't want to check out earlier than you were meant to. All right. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Anthony, for being on the show. Love their conversation. And listen, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, would love for you to hit that subscribe button so that you'll be notified every week when I have new guests. If you're listening on iTunes, would love for you to also rate and review and subscribe. So until next time, namaste.